Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and yes, I'm here again. Guess what? I sent a postcard to George. Surprised? 1 million jumping jacks is a big deal. Big underlined. So So the plan is to do it on Big Frog Mountain. Big underlined. Join me, please, love, Dad. I wonder if he'll ever get it, or if I'll get it back. Anyway, because, you know, it really concerns me what it's going to be like for George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok to find out that I have all those postcards on the wall. You know, see, it's kind of like when you look at things the example I've used several times before, the mask. Because if you wear the mask, you find out, for this reason, this reason, this reason, this reason, and I can give you the list, I won't repeat them. The mask is foolish. Now, if I take off the mask, what is it saying? I'm admitting that I was fooled. If I were to, you know, state this, because, you know, and this is going to be a big deal, because a whole lot of places are saying, put the mask back on. So, you know, where do you stand? Are you going to say, well, I was fooled before, so I'll be fooled again just to go along with the crowd? Or I was fooled before, I understand it causes self-harm. But, you know, the same thing would be true with war. And obviously the current one, it was true in our events in Syria. It's true with the events in Iraq. It was true in Vietnam, World War II, whatnot. And, of course, in Ukraine right now. If you have a particular thing, you cannot say, oops, no, what we said was wrong. So we either move on to something else or continue the lie, because you can't be wrong. Anyway, one of the things I found interesting, you may have heard that there was an attack in Ukraine. Not in Ukraine, in the Donbass. So, you know, it depends upon perspective. Is that part of Ukraine or is that part of Russia? According to the people who live there, it's part of Russia. According to the people in the rest of Ukraine, they say it's part of Ukraine. So it's an issue. But the Ukrainians fired six HIMAR missiles from the good old USA to a place where there was a bunch of Russian troops, and this was their barracks. They were in the process of like moving in, setting up, and whatnot. So they had there was a building they found that they could use. They made use of it before they spread out, and apparently there was a message sent by this sensitive. It was done 1 minute after midnight. On January 1st. It was supposed to be a Happy New Year message. It was very provocative. So my understanding is six missiles were fired, two were shot down, four got through. Unlike the Ukrainians who say, oh, we shot them all down. We have all this destruction all over the place, but we shot them all down. Anyway. Originally, you know, the initial death toll from the Russians, Ukrainians say it's much bigger, but the Russians said thus far we have 65 and a number of injured, still looking for people and whatnot. And now the latest number is 89 because, you know, some people died from their wounds. Some people were found, apparently. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, that was a big deal. That was the biggest single loss the Russians have ever had. During the same day, I think in a nearby battle, the Ukrainians lost 120. It's kind of like, well, you know, the Russians still continue to, you know, lead in the sense they kill more Ukrainians than Russians are being killed by far. But all that, you know, it's kind of, yeah, but there's an important aspect about it, because this was originally just suggested. Now apparently it's confirmed. How did the Ukrainians know where to shoot? Apparently, one or more people within that group violated policy, and there's some question whether or not this was permission was given by a commander or something of the nature, or it was that somebody simply violated policy. And so for, you know, New Year's Eve or whatever, they called home with their cell phone. That gave away the position. And the Ukrainians said, there they are. And they locked in and killed them because they were using their cell phones. You know, and, you know, I've mentioned more than once, cell phones, you know, there's a reason why I don't carry a cell phone. Well, and I have two, you know, they're powered literally, not in idle, they're off. Because I use them as a stopwatch when I measure my times. That's it. One was a literal burner phone from years ago when I drove to Pittsburgh. Philadelphia. Yeah, it was whatever it was, when I drove into years ago. Anyway, but that was a literal burner phone, and I have it again. Now it's a stopwatch, a burner stopwatch. But so you have 89 people who are dead because they use their cell phone. Somebody used a cell phone. And I think it's interesting because the thing you have to remember is, you know, it's going to be more and more a required identification device, in order to do things, to show your COVID pass or your boarding pass to get on a plane to use a whatever. There's going to be the pressure to do it. And it's so convenient because you can use it for your wallet, right? These are the things that are getting people to make use of the cell phone. But you have to remember, it is not required, but it is done anyway. The cell phone is constantly transmitting, saying, here I am, here I am, here I am. Initially, it was to say, here I am, so I can get within a cell within the cell phone. You know, because cell phone, it's the idea that regions, you know, are near a cell phone tower. And so that is the cell and that you communicate with. And a cell phone can typically communicate with multiple towers. Long ago, you could do multiple towers and then through triangulation get a rough idea of where you were. Now, with using, because the phones have GPS in them, you get it down very accurate. So you know where you are, and therefore you'll have to deal with one cell phone tower. And what you're doing is simply saying, I'm in your range. So when a call comes in, tell me. But that's not necessary. There is no need to report your physical position because your physical position is reported. And the providers keep that data. And to what degree it is directly shared or indirectly shared with others, it would be hard to find out. But because obviously a whole lot of stuff is recorded at the Utah Data Center, you know, San Antonio Data Center and Fort Meade and the Donut in the UK, Again, I'll tell you where the places are, where your data is. I mean, it's there. Yeah, it's not hidden away. It's there. But so you have. I've explained before. There's no need for that constant communications. There are simple techniques where Alice is calling Bob. I don't know where Bob is, so I'm going to go to a wide area and say, hey, Bob! And Bob will say, oh, I'm here. Let me start an anonymous call. Not a problem to do. But it won't be done. Simply because your overlord wants to know where you are. And of course, when you have the cell phone and you have that communications, where you are is reported constantly. And as desired, that microphone and camera can be turned on. People have these devices in their home. There's the Amazon thing, and there's a Google thing, and there's a Microsoft thing, and so forth. You put in your home, and you say, Alexa, yeah, that's the Amazon one. You know, turn on the lights, turn on the oven, turn the heat up or whatever. But the reason that's happening is because it's listening to you all the time. And it's not staying local. It's heading to the Amazon data centers, which are rather large, and other places. So that overlord is getting more and more into your life. And sometimes it's going to cost you. So in the case of 89 Russian soldiers, it cost them their lives. And the example I give, and again, one of the primary reasons, no, it was the fundamental reason for the shofar book idea, is because you have the Bible, and you have it on your cell phone, and that's known when you use it, who you're with when you use it. Or, you know, if it's one person or a couple people within this 89 that use their cell phone, the people around them paid for the mistake of the one or more with their lives. In the same way, the exact same way, you go to a gathering of Christians to do a constant, you know, a weekly or whatever event, and you don't have... You know, you're like, you have your cell phone just to talk, but you don't, you know, you have a printed Bible. Oh, really neat. But somebody else has one. And they're near you. And both your phones are reporting. And the issue is, because it's happening, it's relatively simple, you know, AI. You know, it's very simple to say, okay, here are the groups. And so collectively, we don't have to know the people, my name, none of that stuff. But it's your social credit score goes down. And you'll pay a price. And so the mechanics will be in there to pay a price. The weak will, you know, see what will probably happen. You have an event like this, the 89 dead. You have an event like that domestically or, you know, in someplace else where it's something major. You know, Canada would be highly likely. Something more major. There was a serious cost. It's like the trucker, you know, and I just heard, I think for the first time today, the trucker convoy 2 is apparently being planned, which I think will be interesting. But you have a major event like the trucker convoy in Canada, and what the government did is they went after a whole bunch of those people and shut down their bank accounts. So for a period of time, they had no money. The results individual, I'm not sure. But the point is, it was done. So those kind of things are going to be there. And an event may occur where it's a Christian community. Oh, especially, you know, maybe the ideal would be a pro-life group. Or a group that thinks men are men and women are women, and there is no thought about a transition. You can't do that. And you know that will be hate speech, and there'll be some kind of event where a group will have some kind of serious costs paid, and they were known because of the cell phone monitoring, locations found, something of that nature. Something like that will probably happen. You know, I'm not saying thus says the Lord. I'm saying, but it will probably happen. And that will be used. Again, it's the reason I say that Julian Assange has not been extradited for years. And the process is continuing. Two reasons. One, as it's described, the process is the punishment. And the other thing is, it keeps that in the news, at least for those people who are, you know, especially a journalist, whatnot. They continue to know that that's happening. They say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be like that, so I'm not going to do what he did. I don't want to do what that pro-life group did or what that Christian group did, so I'm not going to do what they did. That, I think, will happen. And it's going to be very similar to, again, probably very similar events to what we saw during the rise of the Third Reich. The institutional church in Germany said, yes, praise Adolf Hitler. The confessing church, you know, which is not an institution, but it's people with that label, we say, no, our Lord is Jesus Christ, not the state. And, you know, they were not well received by the state. So we'll probably see something like that again, you know, something like nothing new under the sun, no more remembrance of former things, you know. So we'll probably see something like that again. And the difference this time is that, you know, I gave you that one video that was done that shows the Utah Data Center. And one of the comments in there is that what they have is vastly more, I forget the figure they used, than the Stasi ever collected. You know, the Stasi is the secret police of the East Germany when, you know, Germany was split. It was, you know, the Soviet mentality. And their motto, their literal motto, was to know everything about everybody, or know everything about everyone. I mean, that was their motto. And of course, the NSA, CIA, FBI, you know, they claim to have different purposes. They are tied, joined at the hip, from what I understand. There is, you know, tension in the sense of, I want the credit kind of stuff, or I want more power than you, those kind of things. But in general, they are a collective. And of course, they're joined at the hip with Microsoft, Amazon, Google, and so forth. So that group will go after the 2023 version of the Confessing Church. Again, it's not a thus says the Lord, but I think it's open your eyes, you can see it. And what about my kids? Okay. What we did today was Psalm 115. And I think it's very relevant. Let me just read the first few verses. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory, for the sake of your steadfast love and your faithfulness. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths, but do not speak, eyes, but do not see. They have ears, but do not hear, noses, but do not smell. They have hands, but do not feel, feet, but do not walk. They do not make a sound in their throat. Those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in them. It goes on, and it's, you know, kind of what the follower of Christ would be, you know, or Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And that theme is repeated. So, you know, that's where our hope and our trust is in the Lord. But they have those who make them become like them. So do all who trust in him. So if you trust in these idols of silver and gold, think back. You say, okay, well, at that time, you know, again, it's the Acts 19. Great is Artemis of the Americans, of the Ephesians, not the Americans, Zanus. But really, that is the difference. Because in the time of Acts 19, it was the silversmiths. You know, their idols are silver and gold. It was the silversmiths who were making a lot of money. That's exactly what Acts 19 says. You know, no small profit or whatever it is. It was big business. It was, this is our livelihood. This gives us power and wealth. And what happened? You ended up with a mob. And a mob, a lot of them said, I don't know why we're here, but great is Artemis of the Ephesians. Great is Artemis of the Americans. It's the same thing. You know, because you think, you know, they have mouths but do not speak. Well, now we have, you know, various robots and whatnot. They can walk around and whatnot. And they really, in a lot of respects, have become the idols. But, you know, yes, they walk around. And they have ears. You know, we have microphone. I have a microphone right here. So there's the idea of hearing and so forth. And walking and whatnot. But it is not something that's done because of them. Again, the idea of artificial intelligence, it's a twisting of words, because there is what's generally considered like machine learning, and it's not learning in the sense the way a human does, but it's simply algorithms that are used to gather data to make better decisions and so forth. Whereas the idea of generalized artificial intelligence, in other words, the ability to think, no one's got a clue. I mean, you study the field, haven't got a clue. There's no clue how to make something, a machine, think. We give it the appearance. Yeah, and again, when you see these, the one that has the female face with that, you know, the clear head and whatnot, I forget the name, has become a citizen of, is it Saudi Arabia or somewhere else? Somewhere like that. And but it's not that all the computing is right there, and that it's, you know, a massive amount of computing power behind that. Maybe one day it'll be within, but it is an algorithm, complex algorithm. It is not a thought. You know, so I think it's important to see that. So in that sense, yes, they walk. They walk because they are told to, not because they can autonomously in the sense of think of it. They have an algorithm to say, according to a variety of sensors and whatnot, I will do this. But the idea of saying, I would think I would just like to walk around right now. No, those things. The only reason they would do that is because it was told to. So it is an idol. The technology of today is the idol. It's the same thing. Those who make them become like them. We're trusting in our cell phone. And those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them. Which reminds me of Proverbs 1984. Trust in the state with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge it, and it'll keep a boot stamping on a human face forever. I would suggest it's very consistent with this. Anyway, it was a delightful dialogue. I do recommend that passage. Anyway, it was a joy. I am really stressed. I've been writing some stuff. I've been trying to contact people, and I hate doing that. And it's not going well. But anyway, I did send the postcard to George. The plan tomorrow is to send a postcard to George. And I really wonder what will happen when George finds out. I wrote my dad years ago. He wrote back? And I wasn't told? This is my guess what will probably happen. He'll find out one day. I'm so good. Oh, yeah, okay. One other thing. You know, because I continue to mature the design technology-wise and how to apply it. You know, as I mentioned, how the auto-reply kind of thing. But the other aspect is, when I approach the whistleblower, I'm trying to figure out how to include this in the marketing of this. The objective with the whistleblower, I want to be there to protect the whistleblower. But the other thing, and I don't know if I can do this technology-wise, you know, maybe there's a way to support that, but to help it somehow, or at least to inform people, this is what obedience to Christ would be. You may become a whistleblower. It puts you out of a collective. You're the odd person out. And there's now a tension between you and that collective, whatever that collective is. You know, employers, coworkers, whatever it is. There's a tension there. The objective, one, is to protect you. That's the first part. But there's also part two, to seek reconciliation. Because if you are, I don't know, a an employee for, let's say, a defense contractor, and you've said some things and you get fired. And maybe there's one or more of the employees that look at you and say, you know, because you could have cost me my job. Or the manager says, you know, you've embarrassed me. That's kind of maybe a done deal, but now the reconciliation. Because if you don't pursue reconciliation, the only really other option is vengeance. And I remember reading somewhere in this book about vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Vengeance is not our purpose. Reconciliation. And so how to, you know, and of course, obviously it's going to be different in every circumstance. But so it's to protect the whistleblower. But then is there a way to facilitate somehow reconciliation? You know, because obviously it's something I've been pursuing for over a week. So it's another thing on my mind. I want to do this thing. I am under serious stress. I really need to find some way to get somebody else. You know, I think what I may do here, maybe even tomorrow, because it's too late today, go to my, at least the list of friends, and ask them, do you have a connection? Like a pro-life group, an advocacy group of some kind or whatnot, who could use any of this stuff. Please connect me. I'm in serious trouble. I'm in really serious trouble. So this has to happen. But I can't give up. You know, I did even more study in slavery. Can you imagine what do we see? The important thing, maybe that's the most important thing. It's not as much the drama of rescuing somebody who's in a bad situation. But if you can do something that sets it up where that bad situation doesn't happen, then there's no fanfare and whatnot. But the Lord knows. And that, I think, is the goal. That's the ultimate goal. Not to help recover. I mean, that's still necessary. Or to protect somebody. But to prevent it from happening in the first place. That would be neat. That'd be really neat. Anyway. I got to find somebody else who cares. It's kind of like trying to reconcile my family. I reach out to people, say, I want to reconcile. Does anyone care? And thus far, the answer is no one. I do have some people I know that are praying for me, for my family. I got a lot of those, but especially those involved. When I appeal to them, will you reconcile with me? The answer is my lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, please tell George I want to hike with him on December 8th, 2023, later this year, on your birthday, to the top of Big Frog Mountain to do jumping jack number 1 million. And I'm concerned that I'm doing it at such a rate I may have to slow down, because otherwise, my lady, I love you and I want you back.